Hello and welcome to Patched. I'm your host, Paul James, and today I'm joined by Matt Phillips. How's things, mate?
I'm back.
You're back? Yeah, sorry. Good point. I'm week back. Off. How was your time away from Patched?
On the whole situation of the whole last week's patch, went to bed.
Yeah.
That was
just
unfortunate.
Time zones are challenging, and it was creeping
out of the last minute. I kind of forgot there was a small child in play. I completely forgot about that part.
Yeah, that's fair.
And when Jamie said, "Oh, he's been restless," I thought, "Oh, right, I forgot." I knew there was something wrong. There was a spatter in the work somewhere, but it doesn't matter. It's okay. We got the right guy for the Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jamie came in and nailed it. So, now this week, it is the time-honored Patchies, the most prestigious award show in the video game industry, and an award show that gives away far more awards than Jeff Keighley's gig. So let's get into it with our semi-serious stuff to begin with. We've got three categories we're going to go through initially, being the best indie, the best DLC and expansion, and the best game from another year. Before we get to the stuff that people are really excited for, that's the fun stuff, and then eventually the top 5/top 10 lists. So Matto, We'll start with indie titles, and we'll make sure that they get proper airtime, considering Jeff doesn't believe in doing that. What was the best indie game that you played in 2023?
Well, there was only one indie game I played, and to be honest,
oh, so we got the same answer then.
Totally worth it. Again, we're going with the same indie game of the year again. It is from our wonderful nemesis from across the ocean, the New Zealand.
Black Salt Games.
Dredge.
It's good shit. It's real good shit. That was my choice as well. And I think at least 3 years in a row, because we went with Cult of the Lamb last year.
All three of us went Cult of the Lamb last year. The year before that was not.
Oh, we weren't.
It just depends. Oh, yeah, we did say Death Door. I forgot about that. It just depends what our game of the year this year is going to be, because that's going to be
Our games of the year will differ. Yeah, our games of the year will be different. But more on that later.
2 years.
We'll check in like an hour or so for that, maybe. But yeah, I mean, Dredge is amazing. And yeah, we touched on it recently in an updates episode, to get some pretty high-quality DLC as well, which, I don't know, you still haven't tried that yet, have you?
No. Not yet.
Definitely worth it for, a good 2-3 hours, just a single sitting to kind of blitz out some more content there. But yeah, I mean, that gameplay loop's pretty addictive. I mean, there's not too much to say. I don't really want to say too much about it. But that,
just go to bed.
That
when someone tells you,
get some rest.
Yeah, when some NPC tells you to go to bed, go to bed. Don't do what I did. Don't go to bed and then start questioning yourself about everything in that game. For instance, was that rock there before? Or why is there a giant squid attacking a boat?
These questions don't need answering.
No. None whatsoever.
Don't think too much about them. The answers will probably kill you.
You probably don't want to know the answers to your question. All you need to know is buy a fast motor. That's all you need to know.
Oh, yeah.
And some fishing rods. Because otherwise it defeats the purpose of the game.
Yeah, the loop is all around the fishing and what you collect and the money you get and then how you spend it. But all the, I guess, the mysteries of the world are some of the coolest parts of it. So people should absolutely go and check it out. Well, we're both, I guess, in sync when it comes to the best indie games. So we'll see how we keep going. Best DLC and expansion. I suspect we have different answers here.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Definitely.
Because I feel like in your case it's a game that I haven't even played the core game in full yet. Yeah, there you go.
That is correct.
So talk about correct. Phantom yeah. Liberty then.
No, I was gonna say Horizon. No, I haven't played it yet. I only played two DLCs. One was the God of War Valhalla, which at the moment not a fan of. But we'll get back to that later in the year. When
we've got updates for that.
Got it over my Returnal withdrawals.
Yeah, that's
not withdrawals, just nightmares of doing the
trauma.
Same thing.
There's a bit of trauma there.
Trauma, that's the word. Trauma. Doing the same thing over and over and over again. And thinking to yourself, have I been here before?
Yes.
Quite possibly. I don't know. Why can't I open this door? Where's the spaceman? These are questions that he asked in Return. But yes, Phantom Liberty, the expansion, DLC, whatever you want to call it, I paid full price for it, and I do not regret it.
Awesome.
Anything I pay full price for and I don't think about the price at the end of the game is a win. Like we say, I paid $300 for God of War Ragnarok last year. Never thought about the price. You paid a lot more because you got the other collector's edition of God of War Ragnarok. And that's the thing. If I don't think about the price, it is a good game. Or a game that I say, hey, this is good. Not like Saints Row. I paid $150 for it. I said, this is shit. And I hate it. And I hate that game.
Yeah, you paid a price for that one.
That was a stupid idea. Never again. But we're going on to Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. It's just what you would hope Cyberpunk would have been when it first got released. And Idris Elba, top choice for an actor to play in your game.
Yeah, I think the time's come. I really need to give Cyberpunk 2077 and also the DLC eventually.
I think it's also the story is also good, like really good. I give it a 9 out of 10 story, not an IGN 7 out of 10. Unlike,
too much water.
Yeah. Too much water? No, not enough water for that case. Not enough. But overall, that is fantastic. Characters are good, guns are good. It's only a small area, but it's an area full of exciting things.
Yeah, it's fair. Pretty keen to check it out at this point.
And
I
Keanu,
think it's just
Keanu's just being Keanu.
Yeah, there's new lines for V in there. Sorry, for Johnny Silverhand, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, so Keanu replies is cool.
Yes. It's great, and also they've done a new deals update where you can ride the train now, and then you now see Sad Keanu sitting on a train as the old man.
Oh, really?
Yes. They put it as there's a picture of it, just him sitting there. No cake or anything, just him sitting there all lonesome.
Why not?
By himself,
right.
And I thought, brilliant.
Lean
absolutely
right into
brilliant.
It. Well, for me, my pick was, and you kind of referenced it there, was actually Horizon Forbidden West's Burning Shores DLC. And I really tossed and turned, I guess, over this at the very last minute when Valhalla kind of sprung to mind. It wasn't even like how last minute the release was, but just, you know, in the minutes before this recording. I mean, I was kind of talking about it with you without naming names before the show, and I kind of that DLC popped in my head when I did a quick search just to double check that I hadn't missed anything. I was mindful of Phantom Liberty, but of course I hadn't played it. I played the Final Fantasy 16 DLC. It was fine, but not that great. Valhalla was the last minute kind of addition to the list, but also a serious contender. And I guess like I do like what PlayStation's been doing with some of its roguelike modes and those sorts of things, but just not quite as much as I guess that properly curated, defined story, also within a, you know, very large, again, deliberately designed kind of world. And so to get to explore kind of the Hollywood sign and a whole range of different things that are kind of going on in that particular portion of the map for Burning Shores with a really cool story, it's exactly what I could have wanted from an expansion to one of 2022's best games. So good on them. I mean, unfortunately, Guerrilla seems to be making a knack of not winning awards for anything Horizon related, because it always seems to be coming up against Elden Rings or Zeldas or both.
Yeah, they should really pick a different year to release a game. If they did the year before, they would have taken on It Takes Two, and I'm pretty sure they would have won it by a long shot.
Yeah, I think so too. No offense to Joseph Harrison.
No offense to It Takes Two. No.
I think, yeah, the crazy AAA quality of Forbidden West would have gotten the job done. So, better luck with Horizon 3 or the remake or
Just don't release it where there's other big name games coming out. Just delay it by year. I'll understand. Go, yep, they're going for the game of the year this time.
So in case they're not, like, Guerrillas and PlayStation aren't already aware, do not release it in 2025. You've got Monster Hunter to contend with. You've got GTA 5 to contend with. You've got Judas probably to contend with as well. Just don't.
And whatever Nintendo game that's going to come
alone, let alone Nintendo. So it's going to be a crazy year for them. So don't release there. All right, that is that one done. And that leaves us with, I guess, the final of our kind of non-top 10 awards that are legitimate, being the best game from another year. Did you... you definitely dabbled in some older games over the course of the year.
Yes, and surprisingly, a lot more than I thought, because I thought I played two. I played like about six or seven. I thought,
Cyberpunk probably wins this one as well? No?
No.
Oh.
No, because I played that the year before, so it's not getting back-to-back. And I rushed it this time, and to be honest, it wasn't as fun rushing it.
Fair enough.
It was not fun. But I played a couple other games. There was Elden Ring I was talking about... Well, it was last week.
Just last month in the updates.
I am not going to give it to Elden Ring.
Yes.
The main reason being, I have not yet finished it, so it gets disqualified. I need to finish the game first. It's a great game. You haven't finished it. It could be a rubbish ending. I go, well, that just ruins everything. That's like me saying Mass Effect 3, best game from another year, and you finish it, you go, that was rubbish.
Yeah. No, you got to go the whole way.
But
see it through the credits.
I played League Yakuza 0. Great. Didn't win. That's not my game from another year. It was on the PlayStation Plus, whatever you want to call that stupid, overpriced piece of crap subscription service that Sony has.
Like the base thing or like extra? Or it wouldn't be premium. It's not a classic.
I don't know
anymore.
Surely
it's not a classic.
It's not a classic.
I'll wait and see.
It is Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart.
Oh, nice.
It is.
Oh, was it the cheapest tier of Plus then? That's all right.
I can't remember. Like, I downloaded something when my subscription changed and said you can't play it. It's too old. I thought, yeah, that's discrimination. But oh well, I'll just get off Games Pass. So suck eggs, Sony. But yeah, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, fantastic. Just Insomniac, just carrying that company as they always do.
If they're not winning awards for Spider-Man, they're winning awards for Ratchet & Clank, again, that came out multiple years ago. Like, they're just... they're unreal.
Nothing else to say. It's just... it's a great game. It's not a very long game, but it's a fun game. And a humorous game. And they, in my books, are things that win for me. You can have the coolest action sequence ever, but if it's boring as hell...
it's it, you're out. I'm totally cool with that. I mean, it's an amazing game. I loved it back in 2021. Yeah, that was a 2021 game.
It was the time whenever the PS5 got released. It was around that time.
Yeah, because the
2021.
PS5 was 2020, so then 2021, yeah. And it was awesome. Absolutely loved it. So, yeah, pretty awesome choice, and I can't wait till 2029 when the next one comes out, apparently.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait for 5 more years.
It's going to be a long time with a lot of Marvel in the middle. All right, we're spoiler okay now, anyone watching or listening.
Don't spoiler it.
What was that?
We can predict the future from something we just saw that got leaked.
Didn't see anything, we're just good guessing. My best game from another year is a game that I had already played before, but played it again in 2023 for review. Red Dead Redemption, when it like the original one, not two. Still haven't really had the time to go back to two. But the original Red Dead from 2010 being remastered and brought to PS4 and
was it remastered? Or was it just a copy and paste trick?
Look, it was a pretty lackluster sort of remaster for the most part. The UI, you know, is still 720p, while other things got upscaled, which kind of set off some little alarm bells early on. But it also wasn't done with like AI in the same sort of way that, what's her name?
Oh, it's a good start.
The GTA 3 trilogy was done. So I guess that's a step in the right direction, right? Rockstar did it themselves.
Well, hopefully,
too.
Yeah, hopefully you learned your lesson from your three biggest games getting absolutely butchered by AI. So well done for Rockstar for, you know, figuring that part out and learning that actual people probably do a better job than some shitty AI that just you type in stuff and comes up with some god awful stuff.
Yeah,
People say, "Oh, I'm an AI artist." They're like, "No, you're not. You just type things into a word processor, and it comes up with a picture. You do absolutely nothing." It's like, "Oh, but I get better at drawing. Like, just use a bloody pencil there and learn to draw, you hack."
Checks out. Yeah,
I know. It takes time to get better at drawing, but hey, the end result is better than some AI garbage. I'm sorry.
Simple as that, yeah. And if
AI artists get upset, go to ChatGPT and write an angry letter to me.
Also, you're not artists, so fuck off.
Ooh, yeah, take that.
If you're an AI artist, yeah, you're not an artist, so fuck off. All right. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it was just an amazing game back in 2010, and to get to experience the John Marston story all over again was just cool. So, was pretty happy with that. And beyond that, I didn't actually play too many from previous years. I found myself pretty busy with
it. It was a very big year.
Big year for games. So, already knocked off at least one game this year. Two games this year that are not from 2024. So, I'm off to a solid start in that regard this time. All right, now we're on to the bit that everyone's here for, and that is the piss-taking. We've got a whole range of awards. I think we've both worked out that we've got, like, between 16 and 20 or so awards, and I'm sure there'll be a few that kind of double up here. For anyone who's not familiar with this, basically, there's no rules for the...
Make up our own awards for something we just want to take.
Often with dumb names, yeah. There's probably a couple sincere ones that maybe, like, our core three awards don't do, but... But beyond that, it's a bit of a piss take. So, Matto, we'll bounce back and forward, and if it turns out that we kind of cover the same thing via someone else's kind of award, we'll, you know, inject our one into it after that. But otherwise, kick us off.
All right. So, my first award, and hopefully this is right, the Quality Gameplay Award. So, this goes to the company or showcase that showed a lot of quality gameplay, which was the PlayStation Showcase, which, if I remember correctly,
showed none.
Showed absolutely bugger all.
Oh no, there was the big Spider-Man segment.
Yeah, apart from Spider-Man, nothing. And people, this is their kitchen sink special, and all they showed was Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was kind of rubbish.
It was rubbish.
In that regard,
I'm sorry.
Some cool reveals, but yeah, rubbish.
Yeah, cool reveals, but hey, people want to see gameplay, not fancy state-of-the-art cutscenes. If I wanted to do that, I'd go watch a movie.
Well, we want a mix. Give us a mix. Give us a few of those. Give us a CG cutscene, and then kick over to some gameplay to see what it's about. You can kind of do both, but you can't be, I guess, 95% CG and 5% gameplay like they did in that showcase.
Or you give us a cinematic story, like, I can't remember what the game was called. It was the one by ex-BioWare, Naughty Dog. It was a space one. It was a cutscene. It wasn't no gameplay. It just showed a story. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
I was excited for it. And that's it. I was more excited about that than anything else, because at least there was a story to it. You give me a story, no gameplay, that's fine. At least I know what we're setting up for. If I knew what it was called, I would say it. I should have done
scrolling,
this previously.
I'm scrolling to the PlayStation Showcase now, so it's not Metal Gear Solid 3. It's not Assassin's Creed. It's not Alan Wake, Final Fantasy 16, Dragon's Dogma, Bungie announced Marathon, Street Fighter.
I don't think it was part of the game. PlayStation.
Oh, wasn't
showcase.
The showcase?
I don't know where it was. It wasn't the showcase. It might be a state of play.
Is it the one that's got Matt McConaughey in it?
Yes. Okay, it was the Game Awards then. It was Matt McConaughey. Yeah. That's the one. I knew somebody famous was in it, and we never actually saw him.
Exodus.
In it. Exodus was the name. That's the one. See, that was no gameplay, and I was excited for it because there was a story to it.
Yeah. And they had other things they could lean on, which made it work. Well, my first award here is one that I've kind of been, like, I was making the reference all the way through 2023, it was always going to happen, so I'm just going to get it out of the way now. It's the best 2023 game that I finished in 2022, which goes to Fire Emblem Engage, because thanks to Nintendo, I had the code really early and finished it before the new year, and then the game came out in, like, early to mid-January.
Well, say, you already said that last year.
Did I squeeze it? Oh.
Because Damo was here and you rubbed it in his face, and he was just told you to eat a bag of dicks. I remember that. I do remember that.
I suppose it checks out, because, yeah, that makes sense as a 22. Oh, well, okay, so I've got to add it. Okay, we've doubled up there. Congratulations, Nintendo, you won it again.
Well done.
Oh, hang on. Best 2024 game that I completed in 2023.
Oh, here we go.
The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered.
Ooh, there we go.
we still got there. I was done with that campaign before the new year, and... punched out a whole bunch of No Return as well. So there we go. I managed to fix it. Nice job, me. And Matto for kind of pushing me a little bit. Back over to you, though.
All right, so my next award is the most
You watch next year. I'll be going best 2023 game that I 2024 game that I played in 2023. I'll make the same mistake again.
And then I'll go again. Hang on a second. You said that last year.
And then, like, I won't have. And then I won't have a game for from 2025 that I was playing in December, and so I'll be screwed.
All right. So my next award is the most so-called, in quotes, reliable source award.
Oh, so here this, we go.
This goes to people who really jumped the gun way too early about some reliable source to say it's something, and that is PlayStation fans thinking that they acquired CD Projekt Red.
I mean, also, did many people believe that? There was definitely people going off
There were some people, and I looked at it and thought, CD Projekt Red don't need PlayStation. No. I think they don't need them. And even though amount of money they offer, they'll just say, no thanks. We got Cyberpunk, you don't get lost.
Yeah, I mean, as a PlayStation, you know, fan, it would have been cool, but yeah, that was never going to happen.
Nah. I think fanboys, because this was around the whole time where, I don't know, the Activision Blizzard thing went through the courts and got approved, and then they just started making up silly little lies to make themselves feel better.
Yeah, checks out. Well, my next one, I'm doing it out of order now, but because it kind of links with the whole topic of acquisitions and stuff.
Here we go.
Worst result of an acquisition. Bungie.
Oh, yes.
So obviously Bungie wasn't bought in 2023. I think the check came through in 2022 and everything was done there. But in 2023, sure, they announced Marathon. That seems pretty good. But also Destiny's, it was in a, you know, horrible, horrible place after the... What was the expansion called? It wasn't the Final Shape. That's the new one, isn't it?
I don't know. It is something.
I don't know.
Anyway, their
big 2023 expansion was no good. They sacked heaps of people.
Not just like normal people, like senior people as well.
Yeah, some senior people
too. The music composer guy, I remember that.
Yep.
He got out of the thought, you can't do that. Your music's going to suck now.
Pretty much.
Some grade 4 piano class recital. There you go. That's Bungie's new music.
Yeah.
Right there.
What else did they do wrong over the course of that? Oh, yeah. They had a giant hand in the fact that Last of Us multiplayer got scrapped, you stupid pricks. Apparently that game is actually quite excellent. It's just never going to see the day now, so fuck Bungie. I don't know. There's a lot of things that they did wrong over the course of 2023, and I hope that they can sort it out, because, you know, this is one of the most prestigious studios in the business. PlayStation buys them and suddenly it all goes to shit, which is not how things usually work when they join PlayStation. So
something's gone absolutely pear-shaped.
Well, they just clearly painted a very rosy picture for PlayStation and got bought right when they're on the verge of walking off the edge of a cliff. So
the thing that I found funny is when the CEO or owner, founder, whatever, was defending, oh, it's a shame that lost all these people, and everyone was just ripping into, I'll say, the Twitter account. I don't know if it was the actual person saying, well, you got purchased for what, $6 billion, $3 billion, whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you just sack people. What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what
they're doing. I know the same thing's happening at Activision Blizzard at the moment, but that's something for another time we'll chat about.
Yeah.
Not now, we're here for awards.
We're here for awards, and we've got a lot of them, so back over to you.
All right, my next award is the Dick to IKEA Furniture Award. So this is a company that should just stick to things that they should know. That is Embracer Group. And having no idea what to do with their gaming studios, because let's be honest, they have no idea. Same with Tencent as well. They can go in the same category as well, because they too have absolutely no idea what to do with their gaming studios, because they don't know what video games are.
I gave them the worst publisher of the year award, but also kind of a little shout out to Xbox for allowing Redfall to come out in the state that it was in. Good job, guys. But yeah, Embrace is awful, and absolutely deserve that one.
Like I say, just stick to your IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
I'll try and be nice. You're good at it. Don't get me wrong. You're great at it. Just stick with that.
Yeah, because exploiting the Lord of the Rings isn't good for you, because their last Lord of the Rings product that came out gets my next two awards. I'm going to bundle two together here. Worst hair physics goes to Gollum.
What hair physics?
Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Ooh. Ooh.
Because it's actually what caused the game to break. When you turn the hair physics on, that's what caused the game to fall apart. And also, worst game of the year. Which I wanted to keep this one in the back pocket, but when you lent into Embrace, I'm like, okay, I've got to bundle these things in now. So, worst game of the year also goes to Lord of the Rings Gollum. There was a typo in one of their press releases or something. It's Lord of Ring Gollum.
Lord of Ring.
Lord of Ring Gollum.
That is the English translation from who knows what. It probably make more sense. It makes like it sounds like it's a counterfeit game. Lord of Ring.
Lord of Ring Gollum. Holy shit, that game's bad. Now people can go and check it out, and I might like link it into this episode. The player two plays that I put together for Lord of Ring Gollum. It is just that bad. So have fun with that, everyone. I'll leave it at that for that one. There's not a lot that needs to be said about Lord of the Ring Gollum, and I don't want to think any more about Lord of Ring Gollum. So let's move on. Matto.
Mine is the greatest moment in gaming of 2024. So this is just the silliest, funniest thing that people got around. And that was in Tears of the Kingdom and Fire Dicks.
Oh, oh my God, look at that. We've managed to like positively acknowledge Zelda in this thing.
Yes, it's the only positive thing you ever got to say, because it wasn't the game itself. It was the users making absolute silliness.
Congratulations to the community.
The games. The community outshone themselves and made something a family-friendly game into the most unfamily-friendly game. Still friendly, just unfamily. I mean, everyone can get around Fire Dicks and Dicklets or whatever that
thing is. Oh my God, Dicklet.
And you know what? It was funny as hell, because just some of the stupid stuff they'll do with just Fire Dicks.
It was good shit.
It was good. It was quality.
Well, I guess like I'm going to stick with kind of that theme of acquisitions and, you know, comings and goings and hirings and firings and all those sorts of things, and talk about the best departure in the video game industry this year.
Okay, now we got one in similarities. Mine was best way to finish the year. So I'm pretty sure we got the same person. So you can go ahead and just announce the winner.
Fuck off, Jim Ryan.
Oh, no, we got two different ones.
The best...
No, it wasn't Jim Ryan. I've got someone else.
The best person to leave the industry this year was Jim Ryan, who has been trying his best to sabotage PlayStation over the course of the last few years, failed even that, and you know, sure, I totally actually genuinely believe that he was just kind of burnt out on travel and all those sort of things. It's, you know, when you kind of think about the fact that he was doing the UK and spent a couple of weeks in the US, a couple of weeks in Japan, spend some time at home, like
spent 6 months in Belgium.
Oh yeah, and you know, the court case, let alone that on top of it. Like, I get that it was a lot, but don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out, mate.
Take your PlayStation 1 design PS5 that, you know, you probably don't even know how to use. Take it home back to England and try and figure out how to use it in your retirement. Press the power button, Jim. That's all you got to do. And then you can sign up to your silly subscription service and try and figure out what... Where's the any key? All right, so speaking of my next award, I'll go on the back of you. Best way to finish the year. So this is the best way to finish off a year, and that was old Bobby, no longer CEO of Activision.
Oh, shit. I think I got it wrong.
I thought that's what you were jumping into. I thought, yeah, sure. And then you said Jim Ryan. I thought, also makes sense. I can understand that from your side of things, because let's be honest, you're not being a fan.
For the sake of the industry, no, you're absolutely right with your one, but
and the one thing everyone has agreed, former Activision Blizzard employees, they all say the same thing. Thank God he's no longer there. There has not been one good thing said about him, and probably, I hate to say it, fair enough. Because by the sounds of things, like, that company itself is a mess. And I know you retweeted something of some guy who used to work at Activision Blizzard. Same thing said by everyone. Developers, people making the games, great people. HR, management, horrible. And you just look at it and go, yeah, it's the same pattern of every person that used to work at that company. They all say the same thing, that it was a terrible place to work. And the main reason it probably was a terrible place to work was that guy.
Bobby Kotick.
Old Bobby Dickhead Kotick. And yes, he may have got a big payout to get rid of him, but if that's the price to get rid of him and hopefully put Activision Blizzard in the right direction, so be it.
Yeah. No arguments with any of that. I definitely got my Jim Ryan one wrong when you put Bobby Kotick out there.
I know they're American. I really hope they had a song on saying, "Will I ever see your face again?" But I realise they're American. They wouldn't understand that.
And certainly not the "no way, get fucked, fuck off" part.
Or maybe they do a Game of Thrones scene where they just say shame and throw potatoes at him. Or hard-boiled eggs or tomatoes that you don't squash. Take your pick.
Speaking of any
hard object. A chair. I don't care. Just throw anything at him.
Speaking of things that fucked off in 2023.
Yes.
So not Jim, not Bobby. The Fart in the Wind Award is my next one. And that goes to NFTs in games.
Yes.
Well done, community. Fuck off.
Well done, gaming community, again, for saying no.
Like, I'm sure there will be a way that they come back and that maybe they are a meaningful thing in games, but that initial grift model that we had was awful and really problematic, and I'd rather not see it back full stop, but at least this kind of form that was really, really bad and out the gate, that's dead. And it fizzled out. It never got going. Square Enix was kind of one of the few companies like, yeah, we're going to invest in NFTs, and they have, and Konami did a little bit too, because you could like buy certain frames of Castlevania or something. Like, there was some dumb shit going on, but by and large that thing is dead. It's certainly not kind of infiltrating the game, the actual games themselves, and certainly not the games that, you know, I guess the general consumer, but even most of the hardcore as well, ever interacts with. Whether it's AAA or indie, you just don't see NFTs in them, and that's good. So, like a fart in the wind, NFTs came and went, and I'm pretty happy about it.
That is another tick to the gaming community to just say no.
Lots of crosses against the gaming community, lots of things they do wrong, and we're seeing that a lot this week with the Xbox stuff. More on that next week, people.
But fire dicks and say no to NFTs, tick.
Two big ticks.
No, don't say that.
Over to you.
Over to me. This is the Better Luck Next Year Award. So this is the award to the game that wasn't well received last year. They got delayed to this year. And that was the Suicide Squad showing their, what we would say at their whatever showcase of the PlayStation 1, below average gameplay that was so bad that they delayed it by a lot. And even then,
it hasn't fixed it.
And I will give credit to Rocksteady, to IGN, saying, "Hey, you want a code? Too bad, you're not getting one."
Oh yeah, no, I'm all for that.
I mean, if you want a badmouth game, sure, go ahead. But if you're looking to get a code out of it, you're dreaming. I'm sorry, but if you just get a badmouth sub and say, "Oh, if we said, oh hey, Elgato products are rubbish," this, that, and that, and we say, "Hey, can we have a free light?" And they said no. And I get upset because I said bad things about it.
You're the
which
problem.
I'm not, because you're the problem. Exactly.
No, Elgato's awesome. Elgato products are awesome. Products. And if they want to provide any for this show, they'd be more than welcome to.
I need another light, please. Thanks. In advance.
Yeah, so not a bad award, though. I like that one. My next one is, I've got to work out where I'm in my list because things have bounced around a little bit. The best adaptation that wasn't The Last of Us. And it goes to the Super Mario Brothers movie. I want to take an opportunity to shout that out because
that movie is
awesome. I've watched it so many times now thanks to my kids. But it's like incredible. And I wanted to make sure, because I think Last of Us wins this award hands down, I think in pretty much anyone's opinion, say for like a 10-year-old child.
But for a family-friendly movie.
One that's good for everyone is the Super Mario Brothers movie, and it's pretty incredible. And I'm pretty excited for the fact that there's probably going to be more. It sounds like they're going to do a Donkey Kong movie. I'm all for Illumination just going off and doing their thing. Obviously, the Zelda movie is separate to Illumination. They're partnering with Sony for that one, which is, I guess, a weird one. But Sony Pictures, they're doing stuff there.
Okay, I don't know how to feel about that.
Sony Pictures, not PlayStation.
I know Sony Pictures, but Sony Pictures and, you know, adaptations of, you know, comic book movies haven't gone really well for him in the last couple of years.
I feel like Miyamoto's probably retained a lot of control.
Well, let's hope
this
so.
Whole process.
Let's hope so.
And that, yeah, I do hope that's the case. So yeah, best adaptation that wasn't The Last of Us goes to Mario, but some shout out to, well, not Halo, but even though apparently season 2 is pretty great.
Yeah, episode 1 got a 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is, you should, but one thing I'd go by, one should never take off the helmet.
Well, yeah, but it sounds like they're happy to that. They're happy not to ignore that rule. But that and Twisted Metal was pretty great as well. So it was a pretty good year. Almost perfect had it not been for kind of a lackluster season of Halo.
And we're completely forgetting about The Witcher too.
The Witcher was probably its weakest season, but was still pretty good as well. I actually haven't finished it, which is why I kind of ignored it. I started it twice and kind of got sidetracked by game review business, and so that's just sitting there waiting for me at this point. But that should be kind of factored in as well. And I'm sure there was probably other adaptations I'm not thinking of as well. But
there was a lot.
Yeah.
Not just game wise, just comic book, whatever that. Japanese
sorry, best yeah stuff game is. Adaptations. I guess the key thing for this. But back over to you.
This is one of my very very early awards. I'm looking at it now. It's a bit weird, but bear with me. It is the Medium Rare Cooked Chicken Award. So this is for the game that was so incredibly underdone that it just makes you physically ill.
Gollum.
Playing it. It's not Gollum, it's Redfall.
Redfall.
Because when that got released, it was bad. It still is bad to this day. It's not great, but there was so much excitement saying, oh, this is going to be good, this and ever, and then we got that.
Yeah, it was anything but.
Anything but good. I'm sorry, but...
Oh my god, this entire time I've realised Jamie's name is sitting above yours. Let's switch that over.
Oh dear.
Fixed.
Oh dear.
Thanks for 40 minutes of Jamie Penning's thoughts on Games of the Year. Now over to Matto to finish things off.
Wait, it's been 40 minutes and we haven't even got through like half hour awards yet.
Yeah, and we thought Damo was the problem.
I think we figured it out. It's not Damo, we found out. It is not. It is one of us.
Well, actually, it's probably like 30 or so. I started recording, but we only lost.
Oh, yeah.
We lost only 3 minutes before. Anyway, that's all behind the scenes stuff. My next one is scrolling down my list, the Shittiest Witcher Award.
Oh,
because I had to make sure to acknowledge Tears of the Kingdom somehow with something negative. So that's enough for that because we'll get destroyed by someone, I'm sure. But I needed to keep our little reference going, and I'd only have one other year to have a crack at Zelda through its generation. Through that kind of type of Zelda game. Need to make sure I took the opportunity. So, Shittiest Witcher Award goes to Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, congratulations. That's two awards you've won tonight. Not good ones.
I think they'll take Fire Dicks.
We don't have any trophies for you if you're listening, which you're probably not, but... If you want a trophy, please ask us nicely. We'll send you a trophy of a fire dick.
I will say, I still haven't actually played Tears of the Kingdom. It's on my list for this year. I'm hoping that my opinion changes. I'm hoping that maybe I just played Breath of the Wild at the wrong time. And I don't know. We'll just wait and see. We'll wait and see. But yeah, back over to you.
This is sort of a double up, but I don't care. I'm going with it. It's the 2013 Xbox Presentation Award. So this is going to the most underwhelming presentation showcase, which is also, again, the PlayStation showcase.
Yeah, I was going to say,
in brackets, the kitchen sink special. Because that's what they said they were going to do, and they forgot, you know, the whole kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can't just... It wasn't great. The hype around is good. Oh, it's going to be this. It's that. It's going to be great. And it was below par. Very below par, unfortunately. Spider-Man? Yeah, great. But we've already seen enough Spider-Man earlier in the year. We don't need to see more Spider-Man. That's all you've got to bring is Spider-Man.
Just have a Spider-Man showcase.
Just talk about Spider-Man. Would have been so much better. I would have gone, hey, this is a great showcase. But instead, we didn't really get much.
Dedicated state of play was all it would have taken. But anyway, the next one, continuing the theme of showcases, is the Nail in the Coffin Award. E3, you're dead.
Yes.
E3 is now finally dead. Jeff Keighley posing over the grave, doing his best Spidey impression there. Across the stone. Let's see what Keighley does this year with the entire schedule completely to himself.
I think it's also a fact too. I don't think America, Los Angeles, whatever you want to say, is no longer a go-to destination. It sort of feels like.
Yeah.
Because most game developers are in... not all of them. All the good ones, most of the good ones, are in Europe.
So Europe, why would they want Canada. There's still plenty of great ones in the US and in that area too. But it's just the physical model didn't work anymore, which is a shame. Like, I used to love E3. It kind of lost its way and then obviously really struggled post-COVID. But, yeah. During and post-COVID. But it's dead now. So we move on to your next award.
My next one is the Shoulder Tape Award. So this is to the developer who's pretty much carrying an entire, console. I'll say an entire console, and that is Insomniac.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much had more games than probably every other developer combined. Close to it. They've, four, five games already into this PlayStation cycle?
Spidey Remastered, Miles Morales, Spider-Man 2, Ratchet & Clank.
Ratchet & Clank.
Rift Apart.
Four.
So they've had four. And that probably does come pretty close to the full first-party output. I mean, there's Horizon Forbidden West, there's God of War Ragnarok. Let's not count Last of Us Part 1 or Part 2 Remastered.
Returnal.
Which, to be fair, they weren't first-party at the time that the game came out, so I wouldn't count that either.
I know, it's really pushing it. I don't know, you can't put Helldivers 2 in there.
Demon's Souls Remake.
That's a remake, though. You're putting that under, the same as Last of Us, as not including...
Yeah, I would say this was a big proper, a genuine thing, I guess. It's there was a lot of work that had to go into that as opposed to the other one.
Sort of feeling, no.
I'm struggling.
I don't know.
Yeah, Insomniac might have that, yeah. I'm going to Google this while we chat, but I think you might actually be statistically
correct.
That's
all I feel like. I feel like it's all been Insomniac. It's like the rare of the 64 days of just... They're just developing games.
Gran Turismo 7.
A racing game that got overshadowed by Forza. But other than that, it's a struggle.
That's it. There might be four from the other first parties and four from Insomniac. Though, admittedly, if we're not going to count remasters, then I probably shouldn't be counting Spidey Remastered, right?
Fair point.
Either way, they're close, and that's a glaring indictment on what's going on over there at the moment. Next up for me is the Worst Leak/Hack Award. And it doesn't go to Insomniac, because Microsoft wins, because they did it to themselves by exposing new consoles and a whole range of different things they were doing through the trial. They are responsible for not redacting their own stuff properly, and so they deserve it because it's their own stupid fault. It's not like, an accidental developer maybe clicking on a link that they shouldn't have and the stuff coming out, or, a bit like what happened with GTA 5. Was that last year or the 2023 or 2022? Now I can't remember when that stuff came out, but I think it might have been 2022. But Microsoft shot themselves in the foot. So congratulations, guys.
Well done.
And now I mean, it feels like the same thing's going on this year anyway, but more on that next week. So, back over to you.
My next award is the reason why we're here. So this is an award where we're supposed to be here and completely forgot why we're here, and that is the Game Awards forgetting the reason why they exist.
To award games.
To award games. And one thing they didn't really do this year is they did award games. Well, actually, they only award half the games. But no speeches because they did time for those sponsors. Which I do understand, the whole sponsor thing. That's what makes the Game Awards run and all that. But the only reason the Game Awards exist is because of, you know, these things called, what are they called? Games. That's the one, games.
Games to award, yeah.
And they...
Well done, Jeff.
And, yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows that too, because everyone said the same thing. Hey, Jeff, any chance of them allowed to say thanks? Or no. Not getting told to, get off on a big screen, hurry up, and all this...
Wrap it up. We should have called it the Wrap It Up Award. Then again, people could be saying that about us right now. So on to my next award, which is the online services shut down, and yet we'd never know because no one's playing the console award. That goes to the Wii U. The Wii U's right, online... The online for the Wii U was shut down. You can go and re-download games if you want. You can't buy games, and I don't believe the online systems for most of them work anymore. That was shut down over the course of 2023, and no one would have known. Congratulations, Nintendo. I'm kind of ragging on you a bit so far, but you had a pretty great year.
I didn't even know they still had servers up for the Wii U.
The 3DS and the Wii U ones went offline.
Oh, the 3DS, yes, I know about that.
They were at the exact same time.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Back over to you. How many have you got left? I think I've got...
Oh, let's see. One, two, three.
Yeah, I think I'm about nine. The same, actually. Sorry, you got nine.
Pretty sure I've got nine.
Holy shit.
I took one out because we already sort of talked about that one. So I've got... Well, let me check. One, two, three... 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 9. I've got 9.
Yeah, righto.
So we've only done 10 so far.
I don't know.
So 20 combined.
I don't know how that... I don't know. I must have doubled up on a few occasions. Back over to you.
All right. So my next award is the Chris Pratt Award. So this award goes to the person who is the coolest guy in gaming.
Oh.
That is...
Ben Starr.
There is no one being called out from last year than Ben Starr. He's Mario impersonation. He's Mario audition, I should say. He's auditioned for the three pigeons in GTA 6.
Spider Cube.
He's reenactment of Joel's daughter in The Last of Us after he got absolutely blinded by light. And many, many, many other things he's done which have been absolutely hilarious of 2023.
He's a funny bloke, that one. And he was on Dev Diary, so if you're watching this show, go check out Dev Diary on podcast.
I also like he just takes the absolute piss out of himself too. So that to me is an absolute win.
Yeah, he's definitely not scared to laugh at himself.
Yes, he sees a meme, he's getting it on board, and I like it.
So somehow I'm down to like three. So the next award goes to. Why did I give him that award? What was that supposed to mean? I'm going to try and work out what it was first. So I'll move on to something else in the meantime. The next award is we're a quadruple A team but need the help from the Avengers Devs Award, and that goes to the Initiative because they can't make Perfect Dark on their own. They needed help from Crystal Dynamics to do so.
I'd say not even make Perfect Dark, just a game in general.
Yeah.
Because they haven't even yet made a quadruple A game.
Pretty much.
So you can't really call yourself a quadruple A studio if you haven't even made one singular game, which might help.
So, and all that time that they couldn't get their shit together, it's now probably going to be a PlayStation game as well. sucked in. sucked in the Initiative. /Xbox. Just get your shit together. Again, it goes back to that management that we were talking about earlier on. Back over to you.
Right, so this one is the greatest boss in gaming history.
Yep.
So this is our boss, which was so great, so memorable, so tough, that I think he is the greatest boss ever. That is Rick, the door technician.
Best janitor. Janitor of the year.
Best janitor ever. It is one of the funniest things. It's thinking, oh, here's the big boss battle fight, and you go, one hit, done. I thought, I just laughed. I thought, that is so absolutely funny. Hilarious. And there was stats on him too, and this and that. It was like 25 people died to him, and then people are pointing out going, it's all great and all, but how did 25 people die to him? It's just so many people. I thought, that's a good question. Maybe they just thought he was a friendly fellow who just wanted a lovely chat.
There's probably 25 videos on the internet of each of those people going, look, Rick beat me. You know, see what happens when Rick beat you. And that's...
probably nothing.
Nothing.
He turns yellow, probably.
I mean, you're probably about to die, and then all of a sudden Kel just whips out his lightsaber. Like, it just gets automated. Like, the game won't let you die to,
oh, no,
to Rick.
But
and
so
whip it out.
But he is a janitor, so he might just, you know, confiscate it. And take it to lost property, wherever lost property is on that ship. We don't know. I killed him, so I don't know where lost property is. There might be some valuable stuff there that we don't know about.
My second last award, I've worked out what the other one was. I'll say that till last. My second last award is the worst year to be a game dev so far award, and that goes to 2023. Because the games were amazing. The year was awful for game development. I think I might need to bring the award back at the end of 2024 because I suspect it's going to be 2024 is going to be much worse. I think it's going to beat itself. But for now, as of the end of 2023 wins that award. So worst year to be a game developer goes to 2023. Next up from you.
All right, my next one is quote of the year.
Oh.
So this goes to what I would call the greatest quote of the year. In other words, I laughed because I thought that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard from that person. That is your buddy, old pal, your favorite person, Jim Ryan, saying that PlayStation's innovation is our passion. And ever since then,
was that in 2023?
Yeah, that was during the showcase. I just laughed at it. I thought, no, you're not. Don't lie, Jim. That's shit. It's like, oh, here's some headphones that, you know, 20 other companies have made, you know, better. They last longer. But hey, ours last 5 hours. How long does yours last for? Probably 20, 25. But hey, that's not the point here. They've got the Sony logo on them. They have a fancy slidey thing and slidey out thing.
But those, hey, those Pulse earbuds are pretty cool, actually. But I got sent them, so I'll, you know, disclose it for people.
But I just find it, when you just said innovation is our passion, I thought, what have you invented or innovated on that no one else has?
Yeah, nothing.
Besides making the PlayStation 5 look different than all the other PlayStations. That's it.
That's it. Design aesthetics, that's about all they've got. Well, my final award, the one I couldn't work out what it was before, was the Can't Touch This Award, which goes to Nintendo, because despite all of the shit shows that were going on in 2023, Nintendo was the only one to not have to have a mass firing, to checking our opinions of where Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom have gone, to not put out a bad release. You've got, you know, Pikmin was incredible. Tears of the Kingdom was obviously, you know, a Game of the Year winner at several outlets. Mario Wonder, right up there as well. They put out Super Mario RPG. They just, like, everything they kind of nailed over the course of the year. And they're going to launch a console this year, most likely. So,
and you can also put it in there, too, the surprise drops as well. They said Metroid Prime Remastered. Pikmin 1 and 2 available now. Like, what?
Yeah.
Just like that. You don't give us any warning whatsoever. It's like, what? Now?
God-tier year from Nintendo. So, in the probably the last full year of the Switch. So, it was good. And that was my final kind of not-so-serious awards, so...
And that's how you do it, Sony, so learn from the pros.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's a different management now, so... Well, actually, I'll be honest, their one this year was okay. Not great, it was okay, but... Yeah. We'll carry on. Okay, so I'm carrying... How did I... I thought we had the same number of...
I think I bundled a couple together, and I think there was a few, because I did it on my phone. The award looks like the title was so long it actually went multiple lines and I miscounted as a result. I think.
Okay, so I'll just go through the rest of my awards. The hardest thing to handle, so this is the item that people had, well, would say great difficulty, but they like to make fun of, it's the hardest thing to handle, and that is 19 inches of Venom. Because the amount of jokes going around with that, when people heard 19 inches of venom, like, have a look at my 19 inches, or memes saying, me after I sit on 19 inches of venom, and there's just some person walking really stiff. I thought, this is great. Like, I mean, if there's one thing, like, again, internet community, another win for, you know, taking on the 19 inches of venom and making it laughable.
Yeah. I mean, look, PlayStation Europe knew exactly what they were doing when they put out that
tweet. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they just like, right, let's go. Make the 19 inches of venom jokes, and even yourself got caught.
I wasn't going to pass up during that unboxing. Tell me, audience, where did you put your 19 inches of venom? Me? I put mine...
on the top shelf. Right next to a sword. Or behind a sword.
Yeah.
But let's move on from that. The next award is the most pointless game trailers, I should say, of 2023. And this goes to OD, because, let's be honest, they showed nothing but faces. And it was just Kojima was there because it's Kojima. And, of course, GTA 6. Because, let's be honest, they showed absolutely nothing of that trailer. I was okay with it, but I just thought this is genius because people are going absolutely bananas about something that they've showed absolutely nothing of except two main characters. That's it.
Well, yeah, they basically got to kind of flop their dick on the table and you know, make that giant thud and move on without actually doing a hell of a lot. Which is pretty cool.
Yes, and it got... I think it broke records of most viewed... most 10 million... views in so much amount of time. Even with the leak, people just went bananas for it.
Pretty much.
Ah, and my next award is the James Bond Award. This goes to the game that had, during the Game Awards, zero mentions, zero wins from seven nominations. Spider-Man 2. I know it's really harsh. It's a great game. I will admit to, I saw that on the internet somewhere, that 007 one, so that's not from me. Someone else. I'm going to come clean with that. Someone else, so I thought, I'm taking it.
That's fair.
It's not being harsh. Yes, it got nominated seven times, but in those seven categories, there are, I wouldn't say seven better games. There are games that did the things better than them. There's nothing against them. They probably would have finished second.
Yeah, there's probably a whole bunch of categories they were second or third in.
And yeah, it's unfortunate because it is a great game. It's just got beaten by something that someone, developer, that did it better.
Baldur's Gate came along.
Alan Wake came along. Tears of the Kingdom and Fire Dicks came along.
Yeah.
Even Hi-Fi Rush came along. So, hey, but that's okay. And then my next award is, it makes No Man's Sky look good. And that's, we'll get through that, Starfield. And that's real hard. I know it's real harsh, but they talked that game up like it was up here, like a high-rise building, and then when you played it, some parts of it, yeah, they were good. They got the firing of the guns correct. Which is a nice change, but they kind of forgot about, you know, everything else. Yes, big planet, 1,000 planets, big planet. But the one thing with your planets is you have to have things happening on those planets. I don't want to walk for 10 minutes to find nothing except a rock. That is a waste of my time.
It wasn't even a dick-shaped rock.
It was just a rock. A regular, boring rock. And I know people are trying to defend it. Go, oh, yeah, but this, but that. Like, just say you're stuffed up and move on. Just say, yeah, it didn't work. Fair enough. If it didn't work, it didn't work. You got Elder Scrolls, so you can redeem yourself. Or Indiana Jones, hopefully.
A month or two, maybe.
Month or two. But yeah, I know there's probably a good story to it, this, that, but just exploration and everything else. Just a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
It's not the worst game because, you know, Gollum took that and there's no...
Lord of Ring Gollum.
And there is a place in hell for Gollum. and it's staying there. It's at the bottom of the pit of
Mount Doom.
Yeah, it's Mount Doom in the depths of Mordor. That's where it belongs, and that's where the hell it will stay. And then, my second last award. second last award is the Trio of Idiots. So these are three people, companies, whatever you want to call it, that made an absolute dickhead of themselves and lost. And that goes to the British antitrust regulators, the FTC, and Jim Ryan.
For
their absolute butchering of the whole Activision Blizzard court case. I mean, Jim didn't even turn up to the court case. He just did a pre-recorded video so he couldn't have to answer any questions.
Because he would get him wrong.
Because he'd get him wrong. And the FTC had no idea what they were talking about. They just got absolutely shut down by, you know, Microsoft, who, you know what they're talking about. And then there's the British government, because it's the British government. And they just said, that's cool. You don't want to accept us? You're supposed to send your games to England. We've got the rest of the world to deal with. And they're like, oh, no, let us have games, please. Like, please, sir, I want some more. And then they said, we give up, okay, but you're still an idiot for thinking that you're going to win anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll let Jim off the hook for that one, because his job really was to stall it. And if he was incredibly successful, then sure, like, kill it. But his main job, I think, was just to stall, and he did so for like 18 months. So I actually don't think it was a horrible job that he did in that particular instance. But also, get the fuck out, Jim.
But he was part of the team to try and stall it. So too bad. And then my final one, I would say Dickhead Hall of Fame, because he's not Dickhead of the Year. He's going straight into the Hall of Fame, this guy. I'm probably going to stuff up his last name. John Ricciatello.
Oh, John Ricciatello. Yeah, okay.
John Ricciatello, the dickhead who thought, you know what, we're just going to charge people every time they install the game at Unity. And people just absolutely
charge the developers every single time.
The developers every single time someone brought their game and installed it. And I thought that is the stupidest thing you could ever do. And this is the same guy who, I think, he used to work at EA as well.
He was the head of EA I also heard
something. I don't know if it's true, but it sounds really stupid that he would do it. That in Battlefield, an online multiplayer, they was going to charge people $1 a clip for every time they reloaded. And I thought, that is by far one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. If you want people to leave your server, that's how you do it. And if you want people to stop using Unity, that's how you do it. And luckily,
I think he's kind of done it too, because like the number of people that are kicking around is just not the same anymore.
No, and that right there is just like, that's, and people are like, yeah, that's cool, we'll just go find something else to use. Like, oh no, stay. Like, no. Because if there was a person that really hated a developer, they could just install it, uninstall it,
and just
install it again, and uninstall it, and just make them go broke. And they'll just say, oh, that's not our fault. That's your fault. Like, no, that's your fault because of your stupid, dumbass policy. And luckily, he's not there anymore because of sheer stupidity and dumbassness.
Pretty much.
Congratulations, John. You are the first person into the Dickhead Hall of Fame.
Clown of the year.
Well done for you. Clown of the century. I don't think nobody surely can top that.
We've
still got 74 years to go, so someone could do something even dumber.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
We'll see what happens. We did have the commentary around, well, if you can't afford an Xbox One, we've got a console for you. It's called an Xbox 360. That's, you know, pretty stiff competition. Yeah. So they'll be battling it out for the dumbest comment of the decade, if nothing else. All right, our top lists of the year. We'll make these fairly short because we've already gone north of an hour at this point. We'll just kind of keep them fairly brief because we've also said a lot about every single one of these games that would have appeared on our list. We will have said a lot about over the course of the year or even into this year. You've only got 5. I've got 10. I had an honorable mention because it was in my 10 until like last week. So my honorable mention is Wild Hearts. And that's just, you know, great Monster Hunter kind of like game from EA, you know, all credit to them. They did an awesome job kind of in the publishing role there. In terms of the top 10, though, Steam World Build is number 10. Rarely do I kind of get hooked. Now, admittedly, I've got a bit of love for the franchise, but rarely do I get hooked on kind of those town builder style games. But I did. Pairs nicely with the dungeon dungeon kind of crawling that goes on beneath the surface as well. Works a treat. Number 9 is Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which just continues to impress with kind of the creativity of the level design. Number 8, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. We touched on it. Rick the door technician is a gun, but also just the design of the world. The story is really cool. The combat feels great. So many different kind of variants of the lightsaber that you can use. They just nailed it across the board. Number 7 is Sea of Stars. I've said a lot about this, but like a really cool throwback JRPG like Chrono Trigger. Number 6 was Pikmin 4. Wanted it to be higher, but just not quite because there's some pretty stellar games that came out around it. And now we're in sync. So, Matto, what's your number 5?
Well, I'll do some honorable mentions to start.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep.
I got 2 honorable mentions, 1 dishonorable mention.
Good.
So, my honorable mentions are Hi-Fi Rush. It just missed out. It is a great game. I enjoyed my time with it. But the gameplay at times is a bit repetitive. But overall, still a great game. I'm not going to badmouth it because it's repetitive gameplay, because most games do that.
I'm so curious to see if it earns like some top 10 spots in 2024, because this year it's actually going to come to some platforms where people play games.
Ooh. 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 Well, 2-in-1 is going in some cases.
Yeah.
Then also Metroid Prime Remastered, only because I can't give a remastered game.
Your top 5.
Your top 5. Remake? Sure. If it was Resident Evil 4, if I played it, maybe. But I haven't played Resident Evil 4 Remake, so I can't do it. But it's still, it was 20 years ago, Metroid Prime was a fantastic game. 20 years later, still a fantastic game.
It's pretty awesome.
Still a great game. I look at it and go, I remember this and that. Good times, that game. Good times. And then my dishonorable mention goes to Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Oh.
Because there was so much hype. It was thought it was going to be a great game. The things that they did deliver on, shorter game, sort of more of a linear story. Yeah, it was good. But the story itself was a bit lacking because I was hoping for something better than a stupid origin story that, to be honest, we probably already knew already from talking to Basim in Valhalla.
Fair enough. So I've still got to go back and play it, so
they could have done something really good with it, but they just, I sort of feel like, played it safe.
Fair.
I feel like it got exciting at the end because I thought the good stuff's going to happen, and then it finished, credits rolled. I thought, this sucks.
Yeah,
and even if there was DLC for it, I'm not interested, thanks. Hard pass. Okay, my top
number 5.
Number 5 is Pikmin 4. It is a fantastic game. It is a brilliant game. It's probably the same as the other 3 games, but I don't care. It is fun, enjoyable, and I was dumb enough to 100% it.
I mean, that's a Nintendo game, right? It's pretty Nintendo much the game. Same as all the games that came beforehand, but it's done so well, so who cares?
It's okay. It has a dog with 2 legs, which I don't understand the physics behind it. Ochi, I don't understand the physics behind how a dog with 2 legs can run. Well, actually, it makes more sense because you just, you know, walk it like a human. Makes perfect sense. It's an alien dog. It makes absolutely perfect sense when you think about it. And then you think you finish the game and then that dickhead, what's his name? I forgot what his name is. I'll call him Larry. I forgot what his name. Olimar's dumb assistant. Louis.
Oh, yeah,
that's
okay.
The one. Louis. You think, cool, I finished the game. I've saved Olimar for the 14th time. And all the other dickhead people who somehow got lost on a planet, eh? Like we said, it's like, oh yeah, we've run out of people. Get the rookie to save all of them. Makes perfect sense.
Checks out.
And then you think it's you're done, and then say, oh wait, dog can't leave. Okay, I'll go find that dickhead Louis then and save the day.
Yeah, it's an unreal game.
It's a great game.
There's so much there. And like throwbacks to the original ones with kind of the systems they introduced late in the piece where you can go underground and kind of, you know, and sorry, play some of those levels with the...
Stupid idea.
Oh, you didn't like the underground?
You know when there's one thing where there's like a, you know, the same like Returnal, a tower based.
Yeah.
And I cried because it was
gets
absolutely,
rough.
Absolutely tortured. But you need to do it if you want certain Pinkmen to finish
yes.
the game.
Pinkmen, good one. I like it. For me, number 5 is Octopath Traveler 2. Jamie, you're welcome. But unreal storytelling. The 8 key cast characters and their different stories, most of them really, really impressed me. Only one or two that were a little... they were still all engaging, but one or two that were kind of a little less than the rest of the pack. But the way they all kind of cross over, the little side stories that connect them a little bit more, there was just a little bit more care placed into the stories of each eight and how they kind of interact and integrate more seamlessly at the end. The end game's super deep, and I still need to actually knock out a lot of that end game stuff one day, I'm sure. But just crazy good game. So I won't say too much more to that, but like hopefully Square Enix just keeps churning out these HD 2D games. I know Dragon Quest III is in the works as a remake and God knows what else, but the game looks unreal and plays like a classic JRPG, absolutely should, with some cool modern systems on top. Number four, Matto?
My number four is Dredge. So we don't really need to talk too much about that because we've already done that.
Yeah, great, we've done game. A lot of that.
Great game. Well, if you like fishing games, go play Dredge.
Yeah. Number four was exactly the same for me. So we've said lots about it already. So I'll kick it back over to you for number three then.
Number three for me is Star Wars Jedi Survivor. It's a fantastic game. It is everything from the first one. They just went, you know what, let's improve it. And they did. And it probably would have been number two, except for one key factor. And if you haven't played it yet, cover your ears. Right. Darth Vader ruined it. Because the reason why, he doesn't need to be there. There's no need for him to be there. Just focus on Cal and the rest of the gang. You don't need the old Darth.
I mean, it worked well in the first one, but yeah, they probably...
The second one, it just seemed pointless because you sort of, when you do see him, you already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sort of situation. I thought, oh, great. Can I just finish this now and just carry on with the game? But yeah, combat's great. Difficulty is great for everyone because you've got four different difficulties to do. Characters, great. Brilliant. And the exploration side of things, great because you can now fast travel. Which is a win.
Which is good because the world is huge.
It's huge. Lots to explore and try and figure out what to do, but yeah, it's good. It's great.
Speaking of huge worlds, lots to do and ways to traverse it, my number three is Spider-Man 2. Again, we touched on before, the Insomniac is coming second or third again. They were number three for me. They were number two until, well, my number two kind of finally got finished recently. It's more of Spider-Man and Miles Morales, which is exactly what I wanted. Story's really intriguing, if not still, you know, the elements of it being predictable. I'm not a crazy avid reader of comic books, but I was still able to kind of see what was going on for the most part, which maybe could be perceived as a negative, but also, you know, maybe a love letter in the eyes of others too. I don't know. But like the moment-to-moment action is awesome. It plays like a dream. I did get Spider Cube after I finished the game, which I consider a plus, not a minus.
Spider Cube, I'm jealous.
Yeah, well, I got to play Spider-Cube. Pre-launch now. It's pretty hard to get. Betson's kid has managed to do it fairly recently. So,
but that's the thing. Kids somehow, for some reason, can break a game with ease, while like us grown adults try to really do put a lot of effort into it and get nowhere.
Yeah. So that's my number three. Anyway, over to you for number two.
My number two is the standard second place for Insomniac is definitely
same game.
Spider-Man 2. But yeah, like you said, it's a great game. It's just unfortunate it got beaten by other developers' games, this, whatever. But I will say this. It was great to see returning characters. You go, hey, it's you. I haven't seen you for a while. And there was also a sad moment as well with
a
Pigeon Man.
Yeah, their storytelling, even with some of those side stories, including Pigeon Man, was pretty impactful. They did a great job. Sad.
I thought, God, do one more, because that was the one. And they also joked about it too, the whole pigeon situation as well. I know it was Miles Morales or Spider-Man 2, just making the joke of, you know, chasing pigeons. And then you do it one more time, and you just go, oh, that was a fun time. And then, yeah, a few tears after that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crushing moment. For me, my number two is Alan Wake 2, which was the game that I kind of added onto the list really recently because I only barely just finished it in the last few days. But holy shit. And like that whole game is incredible, but like the moment that stuck with me, and I was already enjoying the song separately, but the We Sing chapter is just one of the best moments in video games, I think, ever, honestly. It's just that good. It's that well designed, from the subtleties of how they're kind of pointing you in the direction you need to go if you're looking up at kind of these giant projections of the band playing, and the way they kind of, you will get the Taken will kind of just, you know, merge through dark spots. Like, it's just, the whole thing is superbly done. The rest of the game is awesome. Saga's a really cool character to explore. You know, I was a bit worried, you're not going to be playing as Alan for more than half the time. And Saga was just a really fascinating character. Her mind place mechanic is great. The way they kind of blend that into the story and the gameplay is super. Like, they did everything right. It's just an incredible game. Matto, what's your number one game for the year?
My number one game is a game that you'll be surprised by, that it is number one. Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom. No, I thought, oh, this is a great game. Final Fantasy 16.
Bullshit.
Nah, I'm kidding with you. It's out of the way too. I thought for the first time in 2 years that we're not having the same game of the year. Alan Wake 2 for me, because like you said, it's a brilliant game. Story-wise, it is great. There was always this sort of worrying about 13 years later, will it be good? Will this transition from, you know, supernatural to survival horror work? Yeah, it does work.
They nailed it.
And they nailed it. Because, yes, it does feel, some people say, Resident Evil-y, sort of. But, hey, Resident Evil made it good. So if it wasn't for Resident Evil, maybe Alan Wake 2 wouldn't be as good. Who knows? Yeah, true. But apart from that, story is great. Like you said, with the whole Saga thing, you think, oh, am I going to play Saga the whole time? No. Yeah, for the first chapter, this or that, and then everything goes from there, and you see Alan on a beach, and you go, no way. Just the shock. You're like, he's alive. He's a real boy.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit late, but I think a spoiler cast is necessary for this one. I know Matt Hewson is very, very keen, so I think we might have
also,
to arrange something like
I think
that.
The start of the game, I just thought, damn, Alan got fat, and it wasn't Alan.
He's thick.
But damn, Alan, what did you eat in the Dark Presence?
And his dick's tiny.
You got a tiny dick.
Unreal game, and yeah, I think there's more to be said. We've also got an update coming up where I'll talk about that game in more detail because I just finished it. So,
you start off, we'll give a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah.
You start off, it's a nice sunny day in, I forgot what the place is called.
Bright Falls.
Bright Falls, that's the one. Not Cauldron Lake, that's where you go as well. But it's a nice sunny day, you go see Fat Alan in the morgue. And you think, oh yeah, cool, whatever, the story. And then all of a sudden, shit hits the fan and it gets exciting. You're like, good stuff. You're like, it's getting good now.
I can't think of bad moments from that game.
No.
Only good ones and amazing ones. And yeah, amazing ones
and
being
then,
Weezing.
And you finished it, you did say. Now, the question is, what's going to happen in the DLC? Is there going to be an Alan Wake 3? There are so many questions.
Yeah, I'm keen for that DLC. Keen for it to just happen already.
And also, too, when you as Alan as well, we should say, when Alan, you change the scene to something else.
Yes, when you can kind of rewrite the environment. It's pretty cool mechanic.
This is pretty cool. Like, then you go to something that's very dark and scary. You go, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I like that. And also, we should say, too, those jump scares. Oh, man. They're out of nowhere, too. They don't even give you, like, a warning or anything. You just casually walk on your own. Nice sunny day. And then all of a sudden, bang. And then you just go, I've almost had a heart attack.
And they went away with them for a while, and then all of a sudden they come screaming back. Yeah, that was scary shit. Number one for me was your joke, number one. Final Fantasy 16 is my number one game from 2023. From Ben Starr's acting, but also everyone else around him. An incredible team there supporting. Really like great storytelling. It probably dragged its feet a little bit at the end. but also it wasn't a Final Fantasy game that was this 60 to 80 hour sort of epic like what we've gotten from others. It was tighter, kind of more befitting the action RPG that's become, and heavily influenced by the likes of Bayonetta and Devil May Cry in terms of its combat. So it makes it far more approachable for people, for new audiences, and that seems to have worked. But like as a traditional Final Fantasy fan, I could still see plenty of DNA from the core franchise that was there for me to enjoy. So great storytelling, great action, accessible DLC that is at least solid, but I guess not a key factor in the actual release. Brilliant acting, yeah, just like it ticked every single box for me. Is it my number one Final Fantasy game of all time? No. Final Fantasy 9 will never be displaced unless it gets remade like Final Fantasy 7, but it's certainly the best game of 2023. So congratulations Square Enix. It's been a while since you've kind of had a Final Fantasy game for me that has been right up at the very, very pointy end, but they nailed it. So outside of remake in 2020, they're crushing it at the moment, so all things are looking really, really good. But that's it, that's our patches for 2023, hosted in mid-February 2024, done. Let us know in the comments on YouTube or social media what your various different awards are. If you've got any joke ones, throw them in the comments there. We want to see them. Matto, thanks for doing your bit and coming up, scratching the creative itch to come up with some gems for this. It's been good.
As always, I take pride in my awards every year.
We'll shoot for even bigger things in 2024's rendition. It'll be good. Thank you everyone for watching. If you enjoyed it, make sure to subscribe. Go check out a whole range of awesome contents on the YouTube channel. Great stuff there. Check it all out. Visit the website player2.net.au for reviews, previews, opinion pieces, news, features, links to the podcast series, Patched, the Player 2 Pixelcast and Dev Diary. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/player2au, kicking a few bucks, lower tiers, early access, higher tiers, monthly episode exclusives. And finally, the Twitter, Matto.
Matto_Phil.
Paul James Games for myself. The website is player2au. And thanks everyone for tuning in. It's been a long episode. Patches are always a good time, though. We'll see you with them next year. We'll see you next week to talk all about what Xbox is up to. See you later.